your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
All those things you've been wondering about? Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and this is the Journey Radio Show. We're going to be talking about Bigfoot and paranormal investigations tonight. We have some super special guests on we're really excited about. But because we're talking Bigfoot, I've got my fellow She-Squatcher on the line. Hey, Jenna, are you there?
Hello, I am here. I'm very excited again. Every show is an awesome show.
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, that's just such a great opportunity for us to get to know other people in the field. And I just am so honored that people will come on and visit with us and share their work and their research with us.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get going on that, I just wanted to give a shout out to the ECBRO, Virginia Bigfoot Conference, and Daniel Benoit, and Squatchman Greg Yost, and Mike Miller from the Ohio Night Stalkers, and Jennifer McDaniels for writing such an amazing article about us.
Amazing.
She interviewed all those people about us. She didn't just interview us, she interviewed them about us. And I was so shocked to see that really long article. It was, wow, that's about us, really.
I know, right? And all those wonderful things that everybody was saying. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Shout out to everybody who said fabulous things about us.
Ooh, ooh. Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So shout out to Squatchman, Greg Yost, we love you guy, and Mike Miller from Ohio Night Stalkers, and of course Jennifer McDaniels for being such an awesome writer, reporter, and we really appreciate all you've done. And for AC Barrow for throwing out the red carpet for us, we really feel honored that you go to that length for us, really. Mm-hmm. So, and come see us. We're going to be in Virginia on June 30th and July 1st at this ECBRO First Annual Virginia Bigfoot Conference. You can check that out online at virginiabigfootcon.com. So come see us. We're going to be the opening speakers of a two-day-long event. There's a free hike the night before in a very, very hot, squatchy spot. So we're going to go. I hope you'll come with us. It's free to come on the hike, and there's also a week-long Bigfoot expedition following the conference, and that's completely free. So just pay for to come to the conference, which isn't very much. I think it's like $20. And the conference is super long, a huge lineup of speakers, really awesome things going on. So please make sure to check that out at virginiabigfootcon.com. So we will be there. All right, so on to our show, because we've got lots to talk about, and we're really excited about these guests. So tonight we have Tony Filosi and Thomas Markham coming to the Journey with us tonight. And let me tell you just a little bit about them. Tony Filosi is a paranormal investigator living in the hills of the southeast Kentucky. While he has been an avid student of the paranormal, history, folklore, mythology, and cryptozoology since a young age, Filosi's work and research is just now gaining recognition in an area of the country that is steeped in skepticism, yet much mystery. The search for truth is Filosi's passion, and the longtime resident of Harlan County, Kentucky, is determined to expand his research so that he can unveil some of the mystique that hovers over the hills of his homeland. One of his greatest interests in the field of instrumental transcommunication research, he believes that in the not-so-far future, that ITC will unlock many secrets of the paranormal. But Filosi's research also delves into the soul of the Appalachian Mountain culture and history through the stories he's able to unearth through his investigations. Filosi has been successful in validating events that once were thought of as lore and debunked many as well in his search for the truth. Our other guest is Thomas Markham. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Thomas is the founder, leader of cryptozoology and paranormal research organization known as the Crypto Crew. He's a trained wildland firefighter. Ooh, awesome. Thank you for your service. And a published photographer, author, filmmaker, and a poet. Hey. He has over 20 years experience researching and investigating Bigfoot, ghosts, UFOs, and other mysteries. And you can find him on Facebook at The Crypto Crew. So go ahead and check him out there. So without further ado, we have lots to discuss with these two awesome guys. So let's welcome them onto the show. Hey, are you there, Tony?
I'm here. Hello, everyone.
Awesome. And how about you, Thomas? Are you there?
I'm right here.
Perfect. Welcome. We're so glad you guys could join us. And we have so much to share and visit with you about. Of course, you got my attention when you started talking Bigfoot research and Bigfoot. We love that. So who would like to start off with telling us a little bit more about that? Because you've wet my whistle with that one.
Well, that would be Thomas's expertise. Tell him, Thomas.
Well, I've been researching Bigfoot for over 20 years, but probably the last 7-8 years, I have actually taken my research more into a public format. I didn't even realize at the time when I was researching Bigfoot that there was actually a large community of people kind of like me who researched the phenomenon of Bigfoot. So once I got online and stuff, it kind of grew to, you know, more so. I met more people and more researchers, and it actually inspired me more to get out more and research harder myself.
Wonderful. We enjoy the Bigfoot community. They've welcomed us with open arms, so we're always excited to meet more Bigfooters and learn and share. And it's never fails. We seem to learn something new from each one that we meet. So we're really excited to visit with you.
Yeah, it seems like there's always something new to learn about Bigfoot because there's so many mysteries that we don't understand about the things that they do, their behavior. And there's just a lot of questions about Bigfoot, so there's a lot of research that needs to be done.
Absolutely, absolutely. What was your earth shattering? Have you had an earth shattering experience with Bigfoot, or found something that just shook up your whole world?
Well, I've had a lot of experiences with Bigfoot, as far as sounds. Being in very close proximity of them, probably the thing that probably surprised me was that when I heard them talk, I was on an investigation that was real fresh. There was like three sides in a week period, and I got into the area, and I found a track line of over 30 tracks, and I was going to set up a game camera there. And as I'm setting up this game camera, I hear talking. And at first I thought it was somebody, actually I thought it was my father coming to check on me because I was by myself. But it was just out of earshot enough that I couldn't make out any words. And it kind of scared me a little bit because I didn't really expect to hear something talking in the middle of the forest. Well, to kind of make it a little bit shorter, I fought through the fear and put up the game camera. And when I returned home later that day, my parents were not even home. So it had to be what it was. But I showed you a game cam picture, and that's actually where that game cam picture came from. My thought of that was that at the time, I was actually filming myself documenting the tracks and things like that. And I think maybe the Bigfoot was mimicking what I was doing as far as the speech. But I've heard other people talk about hearing them talk and stuff, too. And I have had them actually at other times holler at me. As like if you whoop or something, they may holler back or something similar to that. But this was actually, it sounded like a conversation kind of going on, which was kind of freaky.
So, like, they were talking to each other?
I think it was just mostly mimicking me. Even though I did later on, I did find juvenile tracks and things like that in the area. I think this was at this particular time, it was just one.
Okay. And how old were you when you said when you were younger?
You mean when I got into Bigfoot?
Well, you mentioned that you heard some voices in the background mimicking you, and you went home and you knew your parents weren't there, and I was just curious.
This has only been like 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Okay.
Because the reason I said I thought about my father was because he was the skeptic that actually had the sighting. He told me just a little while back that he was a skeptic for 60 some years until one walked across the road in front of him, 30 feet in front of his car. So that's kind of what got me into the area. So it was my thinking that he was coming in there to check on me, see if I'd found anything, that type thing.
So had you set out the trail cam specifically looking for Bigfoot or just looking for whatever you picked up?
No, I actually set it there in hopes to capture the Bigfoot on game cam. And it worked.
That's awesome. Wonderful. Tony, do you go out looking for Bigfoot too?
I've just have, since I partnered up with Thomas, started really searching for Bigfoot. But years ago, I had a Bigfoot encounter. What we perceived was a Bigfoot encounter. My father and I, while we were fishing on a place in East Tennessee, a lake on East Tennessee called Norris Lake. And and after I had that experience, I started talking more to my father, my grandfather, and some of their friends about what had happened, because never had anything like that happen before. And they related several stories about rocks being thrown at them and the whoops and the growls and they would even, like maybe the juveniles or something, something would get on top. They would had houseboats, some of them, and something would come off the bank and get on top of the boat and walk around and jump back off of the top of the boat. And if they were fishing, they would throw rocks at them and try to run them out of the area. So, that's my Bigfoot. Some of the stories that were related to me and when we were camping, my experience was that there was a tree. It sounded like it was tearing the forest down. And I know what a bear sounds like. I know what a panther is. I know the animals in this part of the country. And that was not anything that we'd ever dealt with. And the second night it got in behind the tent and let out the most blood-curdling yell. I can't explain it. And needless to say, there was not a third night of camping. We loaded
get a little
up.
Nervous?
You better believe it. We loaded up the next morning and back to the cabin we went.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It can be quite chilling sometimes, I bet. We haven't had like a super scary time. We have had rocks thrown at us, but they were little ones. And you could tell that they weren't trying to hit us with them. It was more like, don't walk that way. Type of a communication, and I respected that. I didn't go that way. So, but I haven't been growled at or anything like that. So, I hope that we always have peaceful interaction. But I think that there's probably some more aggressive ones out there that we could cross paths with too. You just never know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they were just trying to get us out of their area. I mean, they didn't throw anything at us. They just were, I think, basically posturing and trying to get us to just move along. They didn't throw anything at us. They weren't, there was nothing negative that happened except they scared the crap out of me. And Dad, but the fishermen, what they would do when they would get along, be fishing the banks and things, they would never throw and hit the boat. They would throw next and splash the water. And nobody that I, in none of the stories that were related to me was anybody ever harmed or hit with a rock or anything, but they would just try to push them or out of the area.
I can totally understand that. Somebody's fishing in their backyard.
Well, my question is, I mean, I'm wondering, are they really trying to push you out, or are they saying, get away from our fish? You know what I mean? Because I'm sure they want to, I'm sure they are eating fish because, well, when we were out at school with Squatch Man, oh my goodness, yeah, that handprint was amazing. And, you know, I smelled fish on it. So it just makes me think they've got to be eating fish. I don't know.
Absolutely. You know, if they're if they perceive someone being in to trying to get their food source in competition for their food source, then yeah, I would say that's a very possible.
I've actually taken in reports of a from my neighbor over here of a Bigfoot in the creek. Here we got a creek that runs behind our house, and this guy walks. And he used to walk on the railroad track, and he just walked right up on a Bigfoot that was in the creek splashing around. And I tried to ask him, I said, well, what do you think it was doing? You know, he said, I don't know, maybe it was bathing or trying to catch fish. He said, I really don't know what it was doing. So, but when it seen me, it took off, and I went the other way.
I'm sure it's so startling and scary, and
he's probably gone back to his tribe and said he ran into the scary human that was naked. You just have to wonder what they say about us, right? Mm-hmm. I have a question in the chat room already from Jenny Mack, and she said, ask Tony and Thomas their view on the peculiar rock formations on Pine Mountain due to the ancient earthquake and Pine Mountain Thrust Fault. Is there a possibility of these rock formations being Squatch habitats?
Well, there is some story that I've read before about some bones being found on Pine Mountain. They found everything but the skulls. So, and I have found Bigfoot tracks and Bigfoot stick breaks and formations on Pine Mountain. So I don't know if the rock formation would be necessarily Bigfoot related or not, but I do know there has been activity of Bigfoot on Pine Mountain.
Okay.
I think that Pine Mountain has a lot of caves in it. So I think it definitely could lend itself to Bigfoot, giving him shelter. Thomas and I have interviewed people, I'm talking about a separate site. Thomas is talking about a site about 20 miles from where I'm at, but it's along the same mountain range in Pine Mountain where that they found some bones. We've interviewed, how long ago was that, Thomas? About 4 months ago we interviewed the lady?
Yeah, about 4 months.
They found a skull, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Giants of Ohio Valley and things like that, but we interviewed a couple of very reputable people that their fathers have held giant skulls when they were children, 7-8 years old, and we're in the process of trying to get, we have tracked it to the point to the people, the person that owned its children, we know their names, and we're trying to get in contact with them now to see if there's any photos, if there's any, heck, if there's a skull out in the building. But you'll find that a lot of these skeletons that people found, I'm getting not much off topic, but the giants of the Ohio Valley, and there's giants out in your guys' neck of the woods. I'm sure you've heard of the ones in Nevada and Texas and California and several other places. Most of those skeletons ended up in the care of the Smithsonian. And when most things end up in the Smithsonian, all of a sudden they get lost, or they say, oh, we distributed that all over the place, or, there's no, it's not found again. So I'm hoping nobody didn't donate it to the Smithsonian, because that's what happened to the bones that Thomas was talking about earlier, is they were donated by, was it a doctor, Thomas? Who?
Yeah, it was Dr. Golden, who actually assembled the skeletons. I can't remember, there's four or five separate skeletons, but I think he was the one that sent them into the Smithsonian. And then years later, they tried to check in on them, and first they said they couldn't find them, and then later they come back and said, well, we parted them out, and they're all over the country. So my personal thought is, if you've got an almost complete skeleton, why would you break it up and scatter it all over the place? It just don't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. But that was the story.
But to answer the question in the chat room, yes, I believe that that especially there's a certain section of Pine Mountain that lends itself, because there are underground rivers there. There's caverns that go for miles and miles that are allegedly go all the way out to Mammoth Cave. You have the what's called Gap Cave, now used to be Cudjoe's Cave, on the Kentucky-Tennessee border that goes for miles. I think it's 12 miles that they know of that are tunnels. So, without a doubt, I think Pine Mountain lends itself to Sasquatch activity.
Jenny Mack is asking about the Clay County hieroglyphics, Tony.
Tell her it's actually the Redbird petroglyphs. She's just an intelligent lady. The Redbird petroglyphs are a series of writings that they found in the 90s that they were building a road in it. This rock slid off, and they dated these languages back to around 1,000, you know, the year 1,000, somewhere in there, maybe even a little earlier. I forget, the Phoenician maybe, and some of the other languages. And there's actually supposed to be another one of those stones. And if you guys get a chance to look at the Redbird, look up the Redbird petroglyphs, look at them. I believe the Redbird petroglyphs were markers left throughout. I don't think that Columbus discovered America. And I know we're way off topic on Bigfoot, but she asked the question. Columbus did not discover America. You know, you had people over here mining copper and all sorts of other things. And one of the things that are interesting about some of these markers are either, on a waterway or really close to a waterway. So I think they used these trade routes and what's interesting about the Redbird petroglyphs is some of it's kind of it's hard to explain, but like Amun Ra and stuff, they put it in four or five different languages, but basically it goes back to is Jesus. It talks about Jesus and the Sun God, and then you can roughly translate that into Jesus is the Son of God. And there's a whole lot of speculation on it, but it's a very interesting study.
Well, petroglyphs is one of my favorite topics, actually. And when we travel to events and other places, we often mm-hmm. throw a tent in the car and we take our sweet time coming home.
Mm-hmm. And
that's in Williamsburg, Kentucky. And if you're familiar with petroglyphs, then you know that the Cumberland Plateau is home to some of the oldest petroglyphs in the United States. And and they won't give you the locations because they don't want anybody want to go deface them, you know, which that's smart. But you know, some interesting things about the petroglyphs and things dating back that early being in this area. We could get into a whole lot of different things about why they used this area and why they're the oldest. I think they were, it was a big giant, whenever last ice age ended, you know, your sea levels rose. And if you'll date some of the age of these petroglyphs they're talking about, and you can go back and kind of do a comparison on, you know, during the ice age? Was it right after the ice age? I think some of these places, become shallow seas, and these people were kind of, these were like islands, if not necessarily maybe just islands, but, you know, they had to travel along these ridges and things like that, more so than normal.
Very interesting. We'll have to chat about all of that because we'll be coming to Kentucky twice this year, within the year.
Look so,
yeah, we'll have to check that out. And when we've tried to find petroglyph sites to visit, sometimes they're harder to find because we're looking for specific glyphs that I would like to see in person. And it's hard to find out who's got what. You have to just go there. Unless you know somebody who's been there and can remember if that's been there.
But you're definitely right, though. People are defacing them. They are just, they're just ruining some of the most amazing history.
Yeah.
So it's really disappointing, but it is wonderful. And we do have a wonderful time when we do go out there. And I'm so excited to start traveling again this year.
I'll send you guys the link and the exact location. If you'd like, link to the Red Bird here. Okay, great.
Please do. So I have a question in the chat room from Kat. She's asking, is the LBL monster thought to be something different than a Squatch?
That's a Thomas question.
Well, there's a few theories on that. Most people think it's a dog man. And then when you get into dog man, you think, well, what is a dog man? Some people say it's a werewolf. And basically, that's kind of what it is. But the consensus is mostly that Dogman is some kind of offshoot of a Bigfoot, some kind of type of Bigfoot. But it's a lot more aggressive. There was supposedly some murders there that was attributed to this werewolf Dogman type creature. And I know they got certain parts of it that are closed off now that you're not really allowed to go camping anymore. And so, I don't know, it's a good legend, whether it's all true or not. It's still a good story, and it's interesting. I'd like to go there sometime.
So, do you also look for Dogman?
If it's weird and it's unusual, I'm looking for it.
You're our kind of guys.
That's how you found me.
Oh, funny. There you go. You were instant best friend. There you go. Check it out. Oh, let's see. Jenny Mac is asking, Thomas, Blanton Forest is the 13th oldest growth forest in the United States. Any Bigfoot activity? And does he think the older the forest, the more likelihood of Squatch activity?
I would say most likely, yes. If there's Bigfoot's got to have four basic things to survive, and it's food, shelter, water, and space. It's got to have the space to get the other three things. So if you've got a forest that has the supplies food and supplies plenty of water, and it's got some kind of shelter, cave, or something it can make, I'm sure there's Bigfoot around.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I call it a perfect storm.
Follow the deer herds.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
here in Kentucky, in Kentucky, we had a little bit of problem last year with our deer. We had a big die-off. There was even talk of suspending deer hunting for like 4 or 5 years to try to let it come back. But I don't think it was actually as bad as they think. I know they found like 30-some dead in one spot, one location at one time.
Was that disease or?
Yeah, it was blue tongue, I think, was the main cause, what they call blue tongue. But to my knowledge, they've not actually canceled any deer hunting out yet. So, and I've seen several deer this year, so maybe it's not as bad as they, once thought it was.
Okay. Well, we're already at the half of the mark of the show. We're going to have to take a 2-minute break. So stay tuned, everybody. We're going to be right back with Tony Filosi and Thomas Markham.
Be careful! The Yogis Bar!
My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the Journey Radio Show, and I'm Jen Cruz, and I've got Jenna Grover on the line with me, and together we are the She Squatchers. Will you please check us out online at shesquatchers.com or on Facebook, facebook.com/SheSquatchersOfficial. Remember, She Squatchers Official is how you can find our YouTube channel as well, so please check that out. And hey, this is the Journey Radio Show. You can find us online when we are not live on the air at thejourneyradioshow.com. All past episodes are archived there eventually, so you can go back and listen to your favorite episodes and find little tidbits of info that you'd like to remember or share with your friends. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. And we're back with our very special guest tonight, where our topics are Bigfoot and the paranormal investigations. We've got some really cool EVPs to share with you from Tony Filosi and Thomas Markham. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Hey.
So
we're back.
We should probably switch gears into the paranormal, because I've listened to the EVPs that you've sent in, and I have to say, they are pretty impressive. And I know our listeners love to hear those. So can we turn it over to Sarge, our producer, to roll some of those sweet EVPs?
If you can, please touch the antenna. If you can, please touch the antenna.
Wow, that was pretty interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about that, what was going on there?
Yeah, we caught that in the old Harlan County courthouse. We're doing an investigation. I forget whether we were looking for Manzo. There's been several murders there. There's several entities that actually reside in this place. So, and a lot of times they'll come out and they'll interact with you. And I said, well, you know, and it's, I'm talking about a mail meter. So I'm using a mail meter. And if you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with mail meters, that you have an alarm on it that something breaks the field, you'll have the lights come on and the alarm will come on. And so I said, hey, I said, if you're here, we touch the antenna. And he says, and hold it. So he answers a question, which I thought was, I left out the rest of it. And I said, yeah, and hold it. I said, do anything you want with it. I said, just do it. But that was a pretty good EVP. It was lighthearted, but every EVP or everything that you do in the paranormal does not have to be negative. It does not have to be, you know, like the movies, The Conjuring and a whole lot of other stuff. But you're dealing with disembodied, with energy beings, with disembodied people. So, and this was an intelligent person that was asking me, I'll try to do this, but what do you want me to do with it? So that's what I thought was really cool about it.
I like that. Shall we go to the next EVP?
Are you sorry that you killed yourself? Would you change that if you could? Are you sorry that you killed yourself? Would you change that if you could?
Wow. So what was going on there?
Well, we caught that at a undisclosed location. For obvious reasons, you know. This lady had committed suicide. She was going through postpartum, I believe, and she had attempted suicide once before, and she failed. And she had driven to this location, and she put plastic all over the room, and wrote notes to some of the staff that would, you know, because it was obviously going to make a mess, and wrapped some plastic around her head and shot herself. So basically this was just a good person that had made a horrible mistake, you know? And so we were trying to just, you know, make contact with her and get her side of the story and help her if we could, to, you know, I mean, we plan on going back and seeing if we can help her pass on, because we don't believe, Thomas and I, and a lot of other people that I've investigated with before, we don't believe in treating trapped entities as circus animals for you to go back and just, you know, for your own amusement or to amuse other folks. You know, it's a serious business. So, you know, we want to try to help them, because one day we'll be on that other side and hopefully somebody will want to help us. But, so whenever I frame that question like that, you know, she obviously is, sad that she had committed that act. And I feel that's real heart wrenching right there. Because you just want to help them, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, what can we do to help you? You know,
I hear ya. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you guys will be going back to try to see if you can help her resolve that and move along.
Absolutely.
Into a more peaceful place.
Yes.
All right. Let's see what the next EVPA brings us.
So if you'll come close to this device, and if you can make the temperature go down, we'll be able to, we'll know that you're here. So if you'll come close to this device, and if you can make the temperature go down, we'll be able to, we'll know that you're here.
So I hear he was very close.
No, actually he says, I'm very, starts with a P.
He was teed off.
Yeah, that's,
I heard it better with, I heard it better with my earphones earlier yesterday when I was listening to him.
But he, we caught that one, and I think Jim McDaniels may have been with us when we caught that. I'm not sure. She maybe was. We caught that on top of on Pine Mountain, and one of the things that, I mean, there's nothing anywhere close. There's no radio stations or no houses. The road we were on was built in the 60s. So this, are you familiar with magnetic anomalies, magnetic anomaly maps? Okay. This was in the middle of a magnetic anomaly hotspot, with the geology being limestone quartz, sandstone, and an underground river. So basically, you're sitting on top of a huge battery. So I think that this guy just wandered in, and, you know, from wherever he came from, and he didn't like us there. I mean, but there's been several sightings of people, ghosts, walking along this trail, this road. So obviously he did not want us to, you know, he just wanted us to move along, you know, not talk to him. I don't remember if it was that time or the next time, but it was, wasn't at that exact location, but there was a little lake up there, and I had an entity get him whisper, right. I couldn't understand what they said, but I could actually feel the breath, and it just mumbled in my ear, line. And you talk about a guy about coming, and I'm used to this, but now whenever they're right here and you feel like the you know, like a cold wind or a breath, and you hear that in your ear that close, it's interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much so. All right. That's really interesting. Shall we check out the next one?
With that,
praise God.
Praise God. Now, this location is going to be an episode in our series, The Crypto Files. Thomas and I have been up there and done some EVP work after this. But what happened here was, this is about 6 years ago, maybe. We were investigating an old influenza graveyard. And, you know, dated back to the, some of the graves were late 1800s, weren't influenza or Spanish flu related, but most of the graves in the graveyard, or a lot of them, were 1917, 1918. You know, it's dark and we're doing this and we're catching all these crazy EVPs. You know, I got one that says, "Don't trust you." And another says, "Watch the ring." And another one says, "Help us." And so I'm going, I mean, they're all across the board. And then you know, once we convince them that we're there to help, you know, we're not there to bother them. The gentleman goes, in real country voice, he goes, "Well, praise God." And that was heart wrenching. So, and eventually, I'll tell you what happened the next day. Then I'll tell you what eventually happened. Come back in the daylight, and I started, because, you know, I just thought they were just so unusual. I wanted to get a bigger, broad picture of what was going on. So I started going around, you know, looking in the graveyard and on the trees, and we actually have photos of this. There's some upside down crosses, you know, and it could have been regular crosses that people had flipped up. And then around the perimeter of the graveyard, you find other paraphernalia like that, like somebody was doing some sort of rituals. And from the EVPs, and it started making sense, but from the EVPs that we caught, what we could figure was, and we found, we found some other things that, you know, we'll maybe let that out later, we found altars, the headstones had been knocked down and made into some sort of altars. And when they said, "Watch the ring," they had taken a ring of stones. And if you're familiar with, you know, some of the, and I won't say it's a, well, this was probably a dark art, but not everything nature related is a dark art. You know, I mean, I got some real good friends that are Wiccan and things like that. And, so, I mean, they're just nature people, you know, but they had taken a ring of stones that and ringed around an oak tree. So if you're familiar with any of the stuff out there like that, you know that an oak tree is a very, very powerful symbology. So that was the watch the ring. And then right next to that was a headstone that was being used as an altar of some sort. We contacted a friend of mine that's a member of the Catholic Church, and she also happened to be a photographer. So we go back, and she's doing some photography. You know, photographers love to take pictures. So we're going down through there, and she's taking photos. And I've only seen two daytime orbs in my life. And she caught one on film. We have that, daytime orb. And I'm not an orb guy. I absolutely am not an orb guy. It's got to be like emitting its own flashing neon light with a sign that says, "I am an orb," you know, before I start buying.
I totally get it. Love it.
But I saw it. So, I mean, it was there. And I've seen maybe I've been doing this like really seriously for about 12 years. Four to six legitimate orbs, tons of dust particles and rainwater and things like rain droplets. But anyways, so my friend, I tell her my dilemma. I said, I'd like to help these people cross over because I feel that they've been bound here. And so we contact her parish priest, and which they won't tell you when they go in and do a blessing. And they said, and we went back and forth, and she convinced them that it was a legitimate thing, and we weren't pranking and things like that. And they said, we'll do it, but we're not going to tell you when. So, it goes on, and maybe 6 weeks, 2 months later, I'm back, and I see these rosaries that are kind of in different locations. So, and she said they've done it, and so I saw the rosaries. So that, and I think they helped a bunch of them move on because of some of the EVPs we called afterward. There's still some people there, but not. There was probably, I guess, eight people that were trying to talk through. And now there might be a couple, three now. And there's also a negative something. What really convinced me that somebody was doing rituals was they put some sort of guardian there to kind of keep. Are you guys familiar with collectors or anything like that? What a collector is? They put
like
some
for
sort of,
a necromancer who's collecting.
Something very similar. So they had this thing there that they'd and the EVP says, here it comes or here it comes. And so we do an investigation, you listen at the whole tape contextually. It's not just, oh, there's a good EVP or there's one or there's one, then you're done with it. It tells a story if you listen. We were back doing another investigation during the day, and this lady was with us. She was also a photographer and a team member, and her and this other lady saw the leaves depress, and there's nothing there. I saw some sort of flower. It was wintertime, early spring or late winter. And it shouldn't have been there. And then they looked and it was gone. And I don't think it had any correlation to the negative entity. But anyways, long story short, I had went around to see if there had been any more activity and if they nailed up any more crosses and things. And the other lady had went the other way. And she started screaming. And we got back to her and she couldn't breathe. She was hyperventilating. And she said it felt like that someone had thrown a hot, wet blanket over her and was smothering her. So we grab her up and get her to the vehicle, and she's still hyperventilating. And as soon as we broke the boundary of the edge of that graveyard, it was like you just flipped a switch and she was breathing. She was fine. Her color came back. So that was a pretty interesting experience.
Wow. And we have had other activity kind of like that in the county and the surrounding areas. So that's not an unusual thing, sadly, that people perform these rituals. We've had that happen. It happened a whole lot in the 80s. We had a lot of problem with it. So that's, even though that may seem odd, that it's not odd for us because we have had it happen before.
So you said that they were collectors. What are they're trying to collect lost spirits? Is that what they're doing?
I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you. I have a theory that they were trying to collect up the trapped people there, summon them up, and I don't know whether they were going to have them do their bidding. I don't know whether they just, I don't know. But all I can tell you is that they were basically, they were terrified. If dead people can be terrified, those poor people were terrified. Because they thought we were there to hurt them or do something, And I have, Thomas and I had this on Like I said, it's going to be an episode. We have the original file, investigation file and things like that. So we have all the evidence from that investigation.
And that's going to be on one of your upcoming, is it a YouTube show?
No. Thomas, you can tell them a little bit about that.
Well, we started a series called The Crypto Files, where we explored different stories. Told the Dennis Martin story, and we've investigated haunted locations. And it actually goes out worldwide. You can find it on Amazon Prime and a whole bunch of other streaming services. So that's the plan, to actually turn this one also into a film. Because it's such a fascinating story, you know, a lot of elements involved, and you got people who are needing help, and hopefully, you know, we've provided that. So, you know, that's our plan anyways.
So you already have this available on Amazon, something already out there?
Actually, we've got four films in the series right now. We got Ghost Portal 31, the Missing of Dennis Martin case, and we got Imprisoned Spirits, Search for the Unknown, which is the haunted jail in Harlan. And we have got the Manzo Shepherd story, which should be going up any day. Amazon actually has a problem right now uploading new content. It's an error on their end. Everything's waiting on them right now. But we got three or four films up there now. Plus, I had 8 or 10 films before me and Tony started this series. That's already on Amazon and other streaming services.
And Thomas just got us into the German market.
Right.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
That's awesome. Well, I hope people will go out and find you guys at The Crypto Files, right, on Amazon?
Yeah, you can do that or type in our names and it'll bring it up.
Wonderful. I hope they do that. We better get to their next EVP. We're running out of time. Can we roll the next one, Sarge?
What's it like on the other side? What's it like on the other side?
That's a little garble, but if you have it, your earphones on, and you're listening, what it says is really clear. It says death, and then it says male voices understand. That was called at another undisclosed location where there was a lot of shadow people play, and it's actually they can go and view that, can't they, Thomas? On the
actually, YouTube. That one is on YouTube, yeah. Our YouTube channel is Crypto Watch, one word.
Crypto Watch on YouTube. Check it out, everybody.
And that is a super interesting one. And also, there's one after that. I don't know whether I sent it to you or not, because it says Repent. Do you have that one?
Yes, we do.
Okay, let's listen to that.
Well, Sarge will play the next one on the
list. Do you not want to talk to us?
There it is.
Do you not want to talk to us?
There it is.
Okay, so that was caught during the same EVP session, probably, what was that, about 3 or 4, 5 minutes later, Thomas?
I don't even think it was that long. It was more like maybe a minute and a half later.
So you have death, and then this guy says, the female says death, the male voice says understand, and this is a different male voice. There's 30 separate voices. You have a female, male one, and male two. And so the female says death. The second guy says understand. And then couple minutes later, this guy says repent.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, he must have.
So are there more EVPs yet, or was that the last one? That was probably the last one. So I have a question that just like popped into my mind. Have you guys ever tried to ask the spirits through the spirit box or EVPs about Bigfoot?
Ooh.
Well, good no, question. We haven't, but that's a good idea.
I
hope you will, and let us know what you find out, because that might be an interesting conversation.
One thing that is interesting, we did when we did the Dennis Martin film, we actually, someone had hired a psychic to try to contact Dennis Martin. And one of the questions was concerning Bigfoot. So that's kind of interesting, you know, concept if you want. If you watch the film, it's a little short film. It's only like maybe 40 minutes long. But we won an award for that film. So
very interesting.
Congratulations. That's awesome. I'm going to definitely check out your stuff. So I'm excited.
Yay, then I get to watch it. Jenna always goes out and gets everything.
I do.
She does. She always has to know all of it.
And see, people's birthdays are coming up and things, so buy two of them and you can give them away as presents and things like that. Stocking stuffers.
Yeah. Hey, he's Christmas shopping.
Right?
He's encouraging Christmas shopping. Yeah, he's already encouraging that. Well, we're already coming to the end of the show, and I want to make sure that you guys have the opportunity to tell all of the listeners where they can find you and other things that you'd like to tell them. So you have the floor, guys.
You want to do it, Tony?
Take it away, Thomas.
Well, you can find our main blog website at thecryptocrew.com. You can find us on Facebook at the Crypto Crew. And you can also find Harlan County Paranormal Society on Facebook. And if you'll go to those, you can pretty much get to all of our other stuff. Our YouTube, of course, is Crypto Watch, one word. And once you get to any of that stuff, you can contact us. You can submit a report. You can ask us a question. You can send a picture of your baby. I don't care. Just, you can get a hold of us that way.
Awesome. And do you guys have any interesting plans upcoming that you want to break news on our show?
Tell them about the upcoming film, the Benham Theater Specters of the Stage.
Right now, I'm actually editing the Benham Theater film, which we caught some amazing stuff there that people may hunt you and not find it. It's just incredible stuff. And then we went to the Monroe House. We stayed all night in the Monroe House in Indiana. A phenomenal place. We caught some amazing stuff. Again, that's going to be another film. And we're working at a local business. It's called Sassy Trash. We have got a film coming out on that. And there's some stuff there that was very interesting.
We have two entities. Tell them about the two entities. When you go up the stairs and the two entities, one thinks the other got the other one busted, and they start, we have two entities talking to each other.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Because when we go upstairs, I invite them and I say, hey, you guys can follow us upstairs. Well, they take it for granted that I've actually seen them. And the one guy's kind of getting on to the other guy.
Said, you seen him. He saw you. He said, didn't see me neither. Something like that. It was a comical. Yeah.
That's awesome, guys. Look, I want to thank you guys both for coming on the show and sharing so much with us tonight. We've really enjoyed it. And I want everybody to go check them out online. And they've got Tony Filosi and Thomas Markham. And I really, really enjoy you guys coming on. Thank you. And I hope you'll come back and visit with us again.
Anytime.
Sure. Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Well, tune in to us next week, guys, when we've got Chuck Sutherland. And we're talking Bigfoot next week, so... Until then, keep squatching, y'all. Good night.
Good night, everybody.